like you please to turn with me to three or four passages of Scripture. We'll start in the Gospel of John. John's Gospel and chapter 10. Chapter 10 of John's Gospel. In my Bible, it's page 1282. John 10. And I want just to read verse 10. The thief comes, not but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. In the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5, the fifth chapter of the first epistle of John, in my Bible, it's page 1483. Verse 11 of chapter 5, and this is the witness that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. And in again in John's Gospel and chapter 3, a very well-known verse in John 3, chapter 3, verse 14, verse 1-4. John 3:14, page 1269 in my Bible. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. I want to speak to you about life. Every one of us in this room is alive. We wouldn't be here if we weren't alive. We'd be dead. But I want to speak to you of more than life naturally. We're all naturally alive. Some have more energy and life than others. But I want to speak to you about a life that God gives, eternal life. Because many in this room, maybe all of you, have a new life. You see, we're all at various ages and stages of life, and we're all alive. But I want to speak to you about eternal life, that which you're not born with, that which you don't come into the world with, that which God puts in your soul at some point in your life. And I want to speak to you and ask you if you know that you have this life of which I'm speaking. Because in 1 John 5, the Apostle John says very clearly, he that has the Son of God has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. So it's clear that the apostle is speaking of a different kind of life to your and my natural life. This is something different and something that you and I, everyone in this world needs. We need this kind of life. People are enjoying a lovely day today, and I expect quite a few are down on the beach enjoying life. But I would like you to enjoy what it is, the life that God gives, eternal life. It's something that you are not born with. For that, you need new birth. However, I want to speak of the responsible side to it. He that has the Son of God has life. The Lord Jesus came here to give life. He says, I have come not to... Let's read it, John 10. I am come that they might have life and might have it life abundantly and have it abundantly. The Lord Jesus came into a world of sin and sorrow and death. If we look right back to the Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the animals, he created man, and he put him there as the pinnacle of his creation. And he gave him a job to do. He planted a garden and gave him a job to do. And what happened? He said, you can eat of any tree in that garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But interesting, if you look just before that verse, that in that garden, in the center of it, God planted the tree of life. God's mind was that man, his creature, should have life. That death wasn't God's thought at all. But there was a penalty. The death penalty was first issued on Adam for eating what he was told not to eat. He transgressed God's commandment. Adam was told that he could eat of every tree in that garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day he ate of it, he'd die. And God knew that he'd eat of it, and he did. And sin came in. The reason we die is because of sin. That's why we get old, we get frail, we get forgetful and all the rest of it. And eventually we die. That is the penalty. The wages of sin is death. Now, I'm not wanting to be morbid, but I'm wanting you to face fact. If you live on this world, in this earth, on this earth, you may live up to 100 years. I know several people that have lived over 100 years, but eventually they all die. And any one of us in this room could die at any time. So the gospel message, the good news, is that if God gives you, if you have the Son of God, if you know him as your Savior and Lord, you have life, and it's life eternal, because what God gives, he's given his Son to die for our sins so that we might be forgiven and come into a right relationship with him and to know what it is to enter into life. Not natural life, but a new life that is given of God. And that is why we speak to you in the gospel. The Lord came here for that purpose, that life might be in abundance. We're living in a scene of death. Read of it, hear of it, see it perhaps every day. And yet God is giving life, eternal life, a different kind of life, a life that is implanted into you and it goes with you because it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's involved in Christ. You can't have eternal life outside of Christ. And it is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, the Son of God. So how do I get life? How do I get this life? There was a woman recorded in John chapter 4 who wanted life. And the Lord said, go call thy husband. In other words, you need to face up to your sins. In order to have life, you need to have your sins forgiven. In order to get your sins forgiven, you need to realize you're a sinner and need to have those sins dealt with, those acts of disobedience. Sin is disobedience. It's doing what God has said not to do, which started with Adam eating from a tree he was told not to eat. And it goes right through the whole human race. We are born sinners. That is very unpalatable to many people. They don't like to be told they're born sinners. But it's perfectly true. A child doesn't need to be very old to let you know it's got a will of its own that's not the same as yours. And there you have the embryo of sin coming to light. And you will know in your own life, in your own heart, some of the things you may remember that you've done that were sinful. So that is why you and I need a saviour and we need this new life. The woman in John 4 needed a new life and she wanted She was drawing water from a well, and she had to keep coming back for more because it didn't last. And that's perfectly true. Take a drink of water and you'll be thirsty again soon. But we're speaking here of what the Lord Jesus offers, because he says the water that I shall give him will spring up in him into a fountain of life. Fountain of water of life, I think it is. So God is able to give you new life. That which will be with you now and eternally. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have eternal life outside of Christ. You can't. It's because of who Jesus is. He that has the Son has life. If you have not got the Son of God, you have not got this life. And we're speaking to you tonight. I would like to appeal to you that you come to the Lord Jesus and find in him your Saviour, and he will give you this life. And that brings us to John chapter 3, verse 14. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. That was a very sad incident in the life of the children of Israel, right towards the end of their wilderness journey, towards the end of the 40 years. They got fed up with the manna, and they got fed up with the wilderness, and they turned and spoke against God and spoke against Moses. I've been reading, and you can read it for yourself in Numbers chapter 21. And there God sent fiery serpents, and they bit a number of people, and those people that were bitten died. And there was one cure, and one cure alone, for them, those that had been bitten. They had to look to a serpent of brass lifted up on a pole by Moses, and as many as looked lived. And looking there, the footnote says, beheld. In other words, they had to look intently. You have to believe who Jesus is if you're going to look at him, if you're going to see him as your Saviour. You have to know who he is. And John 3 tells us, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up. So what does lifted up there mean? What is the context of it? It's Christ lifted up on a cross of wood to die for our sins. It's the Lord Jesus. It's a picture in type of the Lord Jesus Christ suffering on the cross at Calvary for my sins and yours. That's what the serpent of brass is. It's Christ made sin. We said this afternoon, he who knew not sin was made sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I think that's a wonderful thing. The one who knew not sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world sin apart. He never sinned. Everything he did was right and proper and in accordance with his Father's mind and will. No, not one of us can say that of ourselves. I certainly can't. And I don't think anyone in this room would be bold enough to say it. So that Christ is unique. The Lord Jesus Christ is unique. He alone could suffer for sins, the just for the unjust. God has found a remedy, an answer for sin, and it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world sin apart, who lived among men. You read the four Gospels, and you will see the life of a perfect man on earth. But that doesn't actually of itself save you. What saves me, what saves you, is the view of Christ lifted up to die. Christ made sin, the one who knew not sin, being made sin, being put to death, suffering not only at the hands of man, but suffering at the hands of God. And in those 3 hours of darkness on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus bore the whole question of sin and your sins and mine in his body. He was made sin. That is what the good news is, that instead of you and I having to bear the punishment for our sins, the Lord Jesus has borne them, so that life may be offered you. life you may enjoy, this new life. It's not ordinary natural life. It's a life in Christ Jesus. So God has a wonderful way of salvation. It's not man's way. Men's religions, and if you look at them all, they pretty well got the same idea that you can do something or improve yourself to make yourself suitable for the presence either of God or whoever you like. Man was created to be a worshipper, you know. And the atheist worships himself or his idols. Man worships something. You worship something. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, you're worshipping something, all right. I don't know what it is, but you know, and God knows. But God wants you to become a worshipper. That's what happened to that woman recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 4. She became a worshipper. And the whole point of having this wonderful life is that we may worship. So we have it as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man may be lifted up, that everyone who believes on him, rather like those who looked intently at the serpent of brass on the pole, were lived, may not perish, but have life eternal. Those who didn't bother to look died in that wilderness experience. Only those who looked at the serpent of brass lifted up on the pole by Moses lived. The rest died. If you want to live, if you want to come into true life with God, you've got to turn. You've got to look to Christ. You've got to turn to the one who was made sin for you. What God is looking for is you to believe on the Lord Jesus. And there's another thing too. That's repentance. Paul, the Apostle Paul, you've all heard of Paul. He preached repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus. And that really is what you and I have to do. Putting our faith and trust is to believe. It's to accept who he is, what he's done for you. And to look to God is to really put your faith and trust in Jesus. It's very simple. It's fact, so simple that I've heard people say, I'd like to be able to do something to deserve it, to merit. Every man who has a religious inclination wants to be able to do something to deserve his salvation. And let me tell you, there's nothing you can do. The Bible tells you very clearly that you cannot do anything of yourself. You must turn to the Lord Jesus and turn to God, who has done it all. God has sent his Son. God gave his Son. For God so loved the world. Think of that. Think of God, holy, righteous, sin-hating God, loving the world of people like you and me, sinners. What love God had. He loved so much the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, no other, that whosoever believes on him, in other words, looks intently on him, that puts their faith and trust in him, may not perish, may not die, may not end up in hell, but have life eternal. That's what is on offer through the gospel message to you tonight, today. There's no other way that I know of salvation. I dare not preach any other way because it would be man's imagination and not God's word. I can only tell you what God says in the Bible and what I've proved for myself. Not just what God says, but I've proved it. I know that my sins have been forgiven because Jesus has suffered and died in my stead, and his blood has been shed. God has also said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Lord Jesus had to die, but not only to die, but his blood had to be shed, had to be poured out, so that God may be able to redeem, to buy you back. That was the price that was paid to gain your salvation, salvation of your soul. So that's the gospel message. That's the only gospel I know, and I dare not preach any other. God has a wonderful message of peace and joy and happiness. He has that for you, but it's available on his terms alone. It's not available on my terms, or the brethren's terms, or anybody in this room. It's available on God's terms, and this is what God has said in his word, the Bible. I believe the Bible to be the word of God. And that's why I can speak with assurance to you. So, whosoever believes on him may not perish. I would not like to see anybody here perish, because there's two destinations for your soul when you die. You either will go to be with Christ in paradise where he is, or you will go to hell. I make no apology for speaking of hell, because it's a place of torment. If you read Luke 16, you'll read about what happens. And that is just a very brief picture by the Lord Jesus of the place of torment. I'll read it to you. This person who was in hell asked that somebody would go to his brothers and sisters and tell them and prevent them from coming to where he found himself. But Abraham says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, not even if one rise from among the dead will they be persuaded. Let me tell you, the Lord Jesus has risen from the dead. And still men and women are not persuaded. May you be persuaded today, because you may not have another opportunity to come here and listen to the gospel. We have to speak as though tonight was your last opportunity to hear about God's message of forgiveness. Don't turn aside. Don't brush it off and think, well, when I'm a bit older, I'll think about these things. You may not have another opportunity. You may, and I trust you will, but you may not. We cannot guarantee. I can't guarantee time. No one here in this room can guarantee time. But what we can say, today, now, is an accepted time, now a day of salvation. Now is an opportunity for you to turn to Jesus, to come to him and find that he will give you life in abundance, spiritual life, something you haven't got and something you might be looking for. Because if you're looking for God, you're not satisfied with yourself and you're not satisfied with what you find here. But God has a wonderful way of salvation and blessing and satisfaction for you. Eternal life. Think of that. You have a soul that is never dying. That's another thing. Your body might die, but your soul will not. And we read about it in Luke 16. Two men, Lazarus and a rich man, and they both died. And Lazarus was carried into the bosom of Abraham, speaking in type or picture of heaven. And the rich man died and was buried and found himself in hell, in Hades, in a place of torment. Yes, people who die without Christ know what they've done, that they've missed their way and they've lost the opportunity to come into God's presence. Now, while you're alive, you may turn to God in repentance. You may know the Lord as your Savior. When you die, it's too late. It's fixed. There's a great chasm fixed between heaven and hell, and people don't pass from one to the other. That is what the Bible teaches. That's what the Lord himself taught. He said that in Luke 16. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm is fixed, so that those who desire to pass hence to you cannot, nor do they who desire to cross from there pass over unto us. It's fixed. now while you may come to Jesus. If you leave it till next week or even tomorrow, it might be too late. The gospel is very serious. It's not just a pleasant song for a Sunday night. It's about life and death, about eternal life and perishing. I do not want anyone in this room. I would be devastated if I knew anybody in this room was turning aside from God and wanting to do their own thing instead. May you repent of your sins and come to Jesus and experience what it is to have life in abundance. Many in this room have done it. No one's ever regretted. Nobody has ever regretted putting their faith and trust in Jesus. You may have regretted your sins, but you've never regretted turning to Jesus. Do so now, while it is time. Time is a wonderful thing. When we go into eternity, it's fixed. You know, there's a wonderful future for Christians. We have a wonderful hope. We have a wonderful hope of seeing our Saviour. We're going to see him shortly. He's coming very soon for those who belong to him. And he's going to take them to be with himself eternally. And I would not want you to be left behind. So, for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus, there's a wonderful future to be with Jesus where he is in heaven. Can you think of anything better? There will be no condemnation. Every sin is dealt with, and Jesus will be there, and you will be like him too. That's another thing. We'll be like Jesus because we shall see him not as he was here below, but as he is now. And you will be like Jesus. What a wonderful hope you and I have as believers on the Lord Jesus. May all have and enjoy this glorious hope. That's all I have to say. Amen.